I decided to drive back to Washington to see Dr. Ron Paul. He had been a congressman for over 20 years. I had met him previously in 1998 when I was running for governor of Nevada, and I knew him to be an honest and sincere man, and I thought he'd be very helpful in letting me know what the future holds for the American people.
Who owns the Federal Reserve?
It's secret, and we can't find out what's happening. So, but the Congress created it, and it's not authorized in the Constitution.
The government borrows money from a private corporation using the name Federal that prints United States on it, and then it pays back to the Fed, which is owned by private banks. We don't know who all those private banks are. The money that the government is paying back to the private bankers is the money that comes from you and me.
Why in the world would the American government borrow money and pay fees on it when it has the authority to make the money itself interest-free?
The Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express. I've never seen a full list of ownership for the Fed. I don't think anybody has.
The government works for a private bank, and the private bank works for its owners, the true masters.
People talk to me about, you know, the issue of Republican versus Democrat as if they don't get it. And I say, look, here's the way you get it. It's organized crime. All you do is you call the Republicans the Genoveses, and you call the Democrats the Gambinos. The people at the top, they treat it like a crap game, like it's their crap game, like they're making lots of money. Occasionally, somebody at the table shoots each other, but the moment anything threatens their crap game, they all unite to protect it. They're both controlled by the same financial, economic, and corporate interests.
Once the banks get into the picture and they form a partnership with the government gives them the legal power now to create bank-issued money backed by the coercive power of government to require everybody to accept that bank money.
In the course of the last century, they've converted this nation from a nation of independent freeholders to a nation of employees. And they're just one step away from being serfs.
Most people spend the great bulk of their money for taxes, interest, and inflation. And all of that money goes to these two groups that comprise the cartel and their partner, the federal government. It's not a coincidence.
So if Congress used its legal authority to shut down the Federal Reserve System, the American people would be much better off. Government should create, issue, and circulate all the currency. Creating and issuing money is a supreme prerogative of government and its greatest creative opportunity. Adopting these principles will save the taxpayers immense sums of interest, and money will cease to be the master and become the servant of humanity. Abraham Lincoln.
Young people today are conditioned from the cradle on up to think that credit is a wonderful thing. You don't want to damage your credit. You want to do what you can so that you can go to the bank and get a good loan.
There are no people who own their own property, who own their own houses, who own their own business, who finance their own business. They're only debtors.
The average young person today has no concept that he's being drawn into a web, a trap. Like he's in the feudalist system, only he's going to like it. He's going to think, this is wonderful. I got my new red Corvette, and I'm in debt for the rest of my life, but I'm looking good.
A decision was made. You know, let's get all the debt up, let's move the jobs abroad, and instead of re-engineering your skills, we're going to dumb down America, and so the middle class will disappear.
Really, what most of the people in this country have become is food for the debt machine.
When a person borrows money, it puts a noose around their neck and makes them servant to the lender, which is exactly what the Federal Reserve System is designed to do. And now our Congress, so dominated by the banks, is helping them to entrap people even further by passing new bankruptcy laws, making it more difficult for the people to declare bankruptcy and get a fresh start, while at the same time allowing the banks to charge very high rates of interest. This is the way the Democrats and Republicans, working with the banks, legally enslave the nation.
Credit card industry is a huge political contributor. And unfortunately,
It just seems so, like I say, just bald. You know, this idea that credit card industry gives a lot of money to the government so they will protect them, even
to the just abject disinterest of their own constituents?
That happens kind of a lot.
My name is Bill Abram. I'm a retired high school teacher. I retired in 1987 to find out why a number of my students were being hit with drugs, and I wondered where those drugs were coming from. And as a result of that, I found that behind the scenes in Canada, in the United States, is an organization that has no care for social issues. All they care for is making money, and the drugs were just part of that. And as I looked into the situation of the behind-the-scenes drug dealing, I discovered that the creation of money was also in that big picture of control over people. The more I discovered the machinations that the international bankers go through to control us, the more I realized that the theft of our efforts, our resources, and our labors was phenomenal, was colossal. At that point, I got introduced to a graph that the Auditor General in Canada in 1993 put out, which showed the phenomenal theft that happens as a result of the power of interest and the sleight of hand economics of compounding interest. And I discovered this graph at that time, which I would like to show you here, of the degree of the theft that was taking place in Canada. Now, this is the Auditor General's report of November 1993, and here in Canada, this would put the sponsorship scandal to absolute shame. The sponsorship scandal does not compare with the theft that happens when a government, instead of borrowing from itself, creating its own money, which only the government has the right to create, they give it over to private entities like the international banks or the private banks. The government prints a bond, the private banks then turn that bond into printed dollars, and then the government borrows those printed dollars back according to the bond. And from way back, 1867 to 1992, when this report was prepared, Canada had to borrow for real spending no more than $37 billion. Yet in 1993, our national debt stood at $423 billion. $386 billion of that was simply interest on interest. Now, if this isn't an unnecessary theft, I don't know what is. This is billions of dollars we're talking about. If I can fast track right up to today's situation, James Flaherty, our finance minister, has put out this particular booklet. This is last year's financial budget, and our 2007 one has just been approved, but this was sent out to all the members of parliament across the country. And it's called Canada's New Government, Turning a New Leaf. Now, inside this particular booklet is a statement of how much we pay in interest and how much our national debt is. Now, I have taken the numbers that are here. The interest that we had to pay in 2004-2005 was $34.1 billion on a national debt of $494.4 billion. The next year we paid roughly the same, $33.7 billion. That's 2000 and, 5, 2006. 2006, 2007, $34.8 billion. And the projected amount we'll pay in 2007, 2008, 30, a total of $137.4 billion will be paid over that four-year period to bankers who, from whom we've borrowed the money to buy the goods and services that we need for the country. Now, when you go back in history, you cannot help but find that statements time and time again, money exists not by nature but by law. And if money exists by law, why is it produced by the private banks then? What right do they have? Would you give it to the private banks, or would you give it to the police force? Would you give it to the mafia? Who would you allow to print the money that the nation needs if it is created by law? The only people who have the legal right to create money is the federal government or the government of the people, because they are accountable to the people. And we're only paying out this huge sum of interest because our governments fail to abide by the law and print the money which only they have the exclusive right to. And in Canada, in the Canadian Constitution of 1867, Article 91 states very clearly that only the government has the exclusive right to create the nation's money. And this same clause is in the American Constitution. Yet, governments will go to private banks and allow them to create the money. In 1934, in Canada, we were in the midst of a depression. We created a bank called the Bank of Canada, and it was given the right to create the money for Canada. And the money that was being created by the private banks was phased out then over the next 10 years. So what we really had was what was called legal tender. But gradually, because of the way the promise to pay money, check money, the banks got control of all of our money creation again through check money and promise to pay money, M2 money. We have the Bank of Canada Act of 1934, and it did spell out clearly that the government should create the money and the Bank of Canada should lend the money, not lend it, but spend it into existence for social and public projects. The United States, since the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, the creation of money in the United States has been totally in the hands of a private consortium known as the Federal Reserve Group. But we in Canada have the laws on our books, and the Bank of Canada Act has not been changed. The preamble reads the same. The clauses in the Bank of Canada Act are still there. The only thing that is lacking in Canada is that our politicians do not abide by the Act and do not force our government to print the nation's money. In Canada, all the shares for the Bank of Canada are held on behalf of the people by our finance minister, our federal finance minister. And he has final say by law on the creation of money for Canada. In the United States, they do not have that freedom. In the United States, the Federal Reserve is totally unaccountable to the people, and the politicians many of them have bought the idea that, the Federal Reserve, they're a government agency and they print it. But no, indeed, they print it, but they lend it to the government, and that puts the people in debt. And the mathematics of that is that the United States can never get out of debt. However, if you go through U.S. history, you'll find that way back in the 1850s, Andrew Jackson did manage to control the creation of money in the United States, and that is the only time in history that the United States ever was debt-free. But by law, if our politicians follow the law, we should never, ever have a national debt, not especially Canada, where we have such a vast array of resources. We should want for nothing.